This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you for joining us. Good to have you as we head downhill toward the weekend. It's moving weekend for me, my actual moving weekend. So I've been moving stuff for the past 2 weeks, packing boxes and moving those boxes as well as other items to the new house. And I can't wait to actually stay in the new house. It feels weird to own a house, even though it's only been a couple of weeks, to own it and not be living in it. Also, this whole thing about having a vacation home, which I know many people do, and I'm sure that's really nice and all, but after 2 weeks of having to care for the yard and pull weeds and water flowers in two different locations, yeah, I'm okay with not having a vacation home and only owning one home really for the rest of my life. Man, it's a lot of work. And it just happens to be that time of the year where the grass is growing, well, and the weeds are growing just crazy, and the weeds are popping up everywhere, and the flowers have to be watered if there isn't any rain for a couple of days. I think I may have accidentally killed the flower that was left for me by the previous owners of the new house. I'm not sure if they meant to leave it for me or they forgot it, because most of the flowers they left are planted. They're in either flower boxes in the backyard, or there's a rose trellis. There are a bunch of different flower beds. There's a huge planter that could be a fire pit, but they filled it in and put a bunch of flowers and bushes in there. And then the front walk has two flower beds that are, along either side of it. And I love all the flowers that they planted, but they also left a pot with some flowers, but not a pot like one where you could tell they put it in the pot. It's more like a pot that they bought at a store, one of those plastic pots, and it needs to be planted. And so I wasn't sure if it was a gift for me or not. There was no note or anything, or maybe they just forgot to take it with them. And I forgot to water it, so now it's dead. After 2 days, I went over to the house today and was in the backyard. I got to do the mowing tomorrow, and I realized the plant was dead, and I was, shoot. So, the epic fail, only 2 weeks into owning the home, but pretty amazing moment. So, on Wednesday afternoon, I was doing the yard work at the place I'm living in now for a few more days, and I was worn out, and then I had to tackle the garage. So, after an hour of working in the garage, loading up the car, driving the car to the new place, unloading the car, I was feeling overwhelmed from weeks of packing and cleaning and moving and yard work. And I walked into the backyard at my new place to discover the rose bush is in full bloom. It was a really sweet surprise. I was not expecting that. It really picked me up. It made me happy, made me smile. I did tweet a picture of it. I'll put it on Facebook when we get to our first break here, because I would love to share with you on Facebook as well. Here, I'll actually retweet it so you can see it on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page when we get to it, the break after hours with Amy Lawrence. So, yeah, it was really sweet. It reminded me that this whole routine of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with a bunch of boxes and carloads in the heat, and then having to take the mower back and forth in my car, which is not an easy thing to do. I'm pretty proud of myself that I actually figured out how to get it into my car. But it's not easy either. And so I keep reminding myself it's two more weeks and I'll be done. But coming up this Saturday is the actual furniture moving day. And so Saturday night will be my first night in the new house. Air condition goes in Thursday. Woo! There's no way. Penny and I do not sleep without central air. It's our one thing that we have to have. Oh, that and a dishwasher. Penny doesn't care about the dishwasher, but I do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for all of your posts on Twitter and Facebook as well. A lot of you responding to our interviews that we've had over the course of the last couple of days, like Nick Hardwick. You really liked him. Rachel Barbeau, who joined us live from Nashville on last night's show. Also, Chuck Cooperstein, as we're getting ready, kind of slowly, for the NBA to return. And coming up in just 10 minutes here, well, 15 minutes, we'll call it 15 minutes. That's probably a little more accurate. Coming up in 15 minutes, Cole Wright from Los Angeles. He does Sirius XM NFL Radio and is also part of the Marquee Sports Network. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. So here's what happened on Wednesday afternoon. I did the yard work, and while I did the yard work, I threw open the garage door. I wanted all the light, just as much light and heat and sun and air as possible in the garage. The garage is gross. I'll just be honest. It's not my garage. It's the guy who owns the house. He never did fix up the garage. So the floor is kind of mottled. It's not a smooth concrete floor. It's all torn up. And I spend as little time as possible in the garage. So the trash cans are in the garage and I have a few things stored there, like potting soil, my coolers, the dog crate that Penny hasn't used since the first year I had her. I mean, she loved it then, but I didn't have room to put it up in my apartment after that. My Christmas tree stand, a couple rakes, brooms, snow shovels. It's that kind of stuff, right? So I do not like the garage at all. It freaks me out for two reasons. One, spiders, two, mice. In fact, the other night I opened up the door from inside the house to get out and get something from the garage. And lo and behold, I turn on the light and there's a little mouse just staring at me. We had a staring contest for a good 30 seconds. He just looked at me. I looked at him. I didn't scream. The mouse didn't run. Thankfully, the mouse was about, 6 feet away from me. So I was in no danger of being attacked by this mouse. But still, that's the garage. It's, no. So I decided if I was going to have to clean out the garage and get my stuff ready to go to the new house, I was going to open up the door, flood it with light, and give the critters time to disperse. Whatever critters are in there, give them time to run, warn your families, and run like the wind. And I think you would be really proud of me. There were no screams, even though there were some blah, 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 cobwebs. I didn't see any actual spiders. I think they may have run for their lives. But lots of cobwebs, no mice. I pulled everything from the back of the garage into the front. I wiped down a bunch of stuff that I then put in my car, like my little mini leaf blower and some chairs and my golf clubs. They were not dusty. They were okay. But I was really proud of myself because there were no involuntary screams. Nothing was crawling on me that I know of. I can't even think about it. Nothing was crawling on me. I got at least half the stuff in the garage into my car and took it to the new took it to the new house without major incident. So then the rest of the stuff, well, I'll deal with it tomorrow, or the movers can put it in the truck. There's a big step for me, you guys. I do not like garages or basements unless they're finished basements and they're in really good condition. They freak me out. So my new house does not have a garage or a basement. It's got eaves underneath the roof, and so those kind of serve as storage. And it's got a shed, which is in really good condition. But still, I only go about a foot into the shed. That's it. I just kind of I open the door, I throw stuff in, and I run like the wind. I know I'm a wimp. I can't help it. I do not like spiders. Mice I can deal with, sort of. They're not my favorite, but spiders, my number one fear in this life. So no, I have never seen Arachnophobia. That's the name of the movie, right? Blah, blah, blah. Do you guys remember? Wait, Dave, you've watched the Lord of the Rings movies, right?
Yes, I have.
The gigantic spider has a name. I do not remember the name of the gigantic spider.
Oh, that's a good question. I'm coming up empty here. I'm going to have to look it up.
But you know the gigantic spider I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so my niece knows how deathly afraid I am of spiders. So she warned me that there was a large spider in the movie. The scenes with the large spider, the first time I ever watched the third movie, I was watching with my hand over my eyes with kind of a, you know, crack in my fingers looking, so I couldn't get the full view of this nasty spider. So that's how little I can deal with spiders. I can't look at photos of them. Shelob?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that.
I knew it was some kind of a weird name. You're right. Just, yeah, but she's disgusting is what she is. Anyway, so, yeah, spiders and I don't coexist very well. And so I was really proud of myself for getting through the garage today. It was, it's not quite done, but at least I didn't encounter any spiders. But I really do think the key was throwing open the garage door and making sure that they all had fair warning, right? And that's only fair. If you've been housing your family in the garage, now's the time to get out. You've got time. I let you know the mass exodus probably took place as soon as I opened the garage door. Blah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. When people ask me my greatest fear, that's it. Spiders.
That escalated quickly.
I'd rather deal with a snake. And I did, in fact, have a snake in my basement going back to the when I worked at my previous network and I had a condo. I had a snake in my basement. Every time I say that, too, I think of Toy Story. Snake in my boot. I am so weird. I know I'm weird. No need to send me a note and tell me. I'm not even going to give out the phone number right now either because I don't want you to call. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so for those of you who are, I'm going to try to be serious here. For those of you who are big time soccer fans, big time MLS fans, and you know who you are, MLS is a sport that is growing in popularity. We had heard that Major League Soccer was planning a tournament as its kind of reintroduction to play, not quite jumping into the season the way that the NBA or the NHL are, you know, hoping to kind of, in at least in some way, shape, or form, finish up their postseasons in a, I mean, it's not really normal. Wouldn't call it normal, but at least it looks like the actual playoffs. I know they'll be in Orlando and two other sites, but once they get to the 16 teams that are in the postseasons, they're going to move forward with the four rounds of the 7-game series. And so here's MLS trying to figure out the best way to relaunch and to get its guys back into somewhat of a playing shape before they send them all to their various markets. So Commissioner Don Garber was on Altitude TV on Wednesday, and he was explaining what is kind of a soft return before they get back to games.
You know, when we first put together the tournament concept at Disney World, we just were very uncertain about when we'd be able to return to our stadiums in our home market, and thought, why don't we get them all together, get our teams, 26 teams together in one neutral site, play games every day, get our players back on the field for our fans. But very importantly, doing it with games of consequence. So a total prize pool of $1 million, the winner, you know, getting a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. You know, all of this is our you know, our best foot forward to do what we can in an exciting, compelling, and meaningful way to return to play for 2020.
MLS Commissioner Don Garber, and he refers to the tournament format. They're actually going to be in Orlando as well. Orlando is going to be a really popular place, but they're calling it the MLS is Back tournament, and it kicks off on July 8th. So we're going to have yet another niche sport. Again, I know it's growing in popularity, but still considered a niche sport in the United States. So MLS returns after the pandemic on July 8th. So inside of a month, we're going to have PGA Tour events. We've got NASCAR going on Cup Series twice a week, as well as other races that they're mixing in at various tracks, and they're starting to move around the country. In fact, in NASCAR, they will be allowing fans in Miami, it's invitation only, so it's like corporate sponsors, that kind of stuff. But Talladega, there are actually going to be tickets on sale for fans. The lower bowl, the lower stands, they're going to allow, I think it's 5,000 fans to spread out. It's a mile front straightaway, so they're going to be spread out over a mile. But you're starting to see some sporting events welcome fans in limited capacity. Texas has said we'll allow 50% capacity at our outdoor events, and we'll also allow some fans at our indoor events. So I don't know that we're going to get all the way to the NFL season without having any fans, though I suppose it is still a possibility depending on what happens moving forward. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, soccer, golf, NASCAR, UFC, soon to follow. We're going to get some NBA, some NHL, and where are you, Major League Baseball? Where are you at? All right, again, on Twitter, also on Facebook. It's good to have you on board. Straight ahead, Cole Wright, SiriusXM NFL Radio. He will join us from Los Angeles.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated interviewing baseball commissioner Rob Manfred just before the Major League Baseball amateur draft that happened on Wednesday. Funny, because it didn't get nearly the fanfare as the NFL draft did, but when does it ever? The NFL draft is an event in and of itself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just put the picture up on Facebook if you want to see the pretty roses that were such a sweet surprise at my new place. It's kind of cool to see all these flowers. Now I just have to learn how to take care of them. We're pleased to welcome Cole Wright of SiriusXM NFL Radio and the Marquee Sports Network joining us from Los Angeles. Cole, we know this to be true, and it applies to Major League Baseball. No matter what's actually happening on the inside, outside, perception is greater than reality. It seems like baseball owners and players are earning no extra love from the fans right now. In fact, making a mess of that relationship. What do you think of what's happening with baseball at this point?
Honestly, it just seems to be a somewhat of a stalemate. I think it's, you know, egos are involved, and, you know, guys don't want to budge an inch, and you know it makes a lot of sense when you see people that are dealing, you know, with a whole bunch of money on both sides, you know, millionaires versus billionaires. You know, both of these guys want to be, you know, compensated for their services, and you know, when you see how everything goes down, you know, you wish that that's not how it was. But at the end of the day, it is a business. I mean, everything that goes into Fortune 500 companies when it comes to the negotiations of deals, the hiring processes, I mean, it's as stringent as it is with a Major League Baseball team. And I think teams are no different, and sporting franchises are really no different when it comes to that. I just think that, you know, a lot of people lose sight of it because some of those Fortune 500 employees happen to play shortstop or left field or center or, you know, quarterback for whatever sport you know you want to touch on. These guys are Fortune 500 employees. I mean, they're all like, you know, high-ranking CEOs. I mean, when you look at how much they're compensated annually when it comes to monetary value, I think, it's if you had your choice as a kid, would you want to be a Fortune 500 CEO or, you know, a star athlete? I mean, I know the Fortune 500 CEO may have a little bit longer of a shelf life, but I think when it comes to, you know, when you compare the dollars and cents, I think they're right on line.
Is there a plan that makes sense to you?
I mean, if a plan that makes sense to me would be my plan. I mean, I put a plan out there. I don't know if enough people are really on board with that. But, you know, I thought, you know, let's try to get this spring training part two done as soon as possible. And, you know, as opposed to stretching it out into the second week of July, you know, the best way to go ahead and get this thing done with would be, okay, let's each team 10 games. each starter in your five-man rotation gets two starts. And everyone's like, well, they need more time to ramp up. I'm like, these guys were already fully ramped up, and then the shutdown came. So if there's any guys that were at their, you know, their quarantine locations and they weren't staying sharp, then I'd like to think shame on them, because this is 2020, and, you know, being a professional athlete is 365 days a year. It's not like, you know, back in 1953 when a guy would end the season and he had a, you know, a lucky strike and a Bud Heavy waiting on him in the dugout, and then, you know, he didn't get back to training until the first day of spring training. These guys are all year round. So for everyone that thinks that these pitchers aren't ready and they need all this extra time to get ready, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think if each starter got two starts in a 10-game abbreviated spring training part two, and then all the minor league guys who would be starters, now they throw their hat in the ring to become one of those long relievers or to become a closer, and they're going to get all the extra innings that the starters don't chew up in those 10 games. So, I mean, it will be a sprint this season, but I think it'll be a constructive sprint, and I think a lot of guys will see improve, and we'll see, you know, some players. I think this could be the beginning of the end for them, and I think this could be the start of something pretty promising for a lot of players.
Yeah, if they could just get back to it and find some common ground. Cole Wright is with Marquee Sports Network, does pre and post for the Chicago Cubs when they get to that, plus Sirius XM NFL Radio. Now, considering those two lenses, the baseball, and then what we've seen from football this three-month stretch, what do you think, Cole, about the way football, the NFL, has handled its business?
Well, I think that they've gone about it the right way. They just operated on, you know, forging ahead, and, you know, this is still down the road. And right now, you know, all signs point to them playing, and, you know, hopefully no second wave coming into the picture when it comes to COVID-19. And I just think that what they've done so far, I mean, we saw how they augmented, you know, the draft this year. And, you know, for everyone that said, oh, I'm not going to sit at home and watch a draft that's, you know, at everybody's house, who wants to see Commissioner Goodell's house? But, you know, the draft numbers were, you know, eye-popping. So, and I think that some of that, you know, goes by the wayside when you hear, you know, a lot of detractors, but then you see everyone tuning in. It's almost like, you know, when there's something like there's a terrible song, like everyone's like, oh, that song's the worst. But then when it comes on, everyone knows the words. And I think that's, you know, somewhat of the situation, except for it's a great song when it comes to the NFL, and everybody seems to know the words. And, you know, it always kicks off, you know, with that Hall of Fame game. And, you know, there's already a countdown until the season comes back. You know, I think we're right at about 90 days. And, you know, just the fact that the interest level is there and everyone is still, you know, forging ahead and wrapping themselves around the idea of a 2020 season with no hiccups. I mean, I like the way they think. I mean, why cast a negative light? Why have that, you know, that dark cloud with no silver lining hanging above them, you know, before they've even crossed that bridge? So, you know, the way that they're planning, all systems go, let's forge ahead with the season and let's keep every plan in place. I mean, I like their ideology.
And honestly, one thing that stands out to me too, Cole, is the fact that early on, Roger Goodell made it very clear that anyone associated with a front office or with the NFL itself was to zip it with their dissenting opinions. And while we're sure that not everyone is on board or is happy about the whole thing, the fact is no one from the NFL is expressing these dissenting opinions, whereas with Major League Baseball, it's a free-for-all with everybody's opinions out there all the time.
Yeah, and I think that has something to do with, you know, the difference in their players associations. You know, there's a salary cap in football. There isn't in baseball. So I just think that, you know, that there's a lot of things that come into play, and as alike as each sport is, I think you really see the differences, and it's not just differences in the fundamental rules and the shape of the game in general. I think it's, you know, it is the makeup of, you know, some of the owners and the player structure and the players association. I think that things are just a little bit different. I mean, baseball, that, you know, when you look at it as a kid, you know, like, wow, if, you know, if you're as good as you can be at baseball, the sky's the limit when it comes to getting paid. Not to say that isn't the case in the NFL, but there are limitations. You know, if you're a running back, chances are you're not going to see a $20 million per season contract anytime soon. If you're a quarterback, you didn't have to be, you know, in the top 16. And you can, you know, you can set your family up with generational kind of money. So, and I guess it all just really depends on, you know, the structure of the sport and the position a lot of times. I mean, in baseball, as crazy as it is, you know, as a guy, you know, coming up, you know, I dabbled in baseball and, you know, was able to play in college and a little bit afterwards. But if someone said, okay, you fast forward, pitchers will be the highest paid players in the game, a guy that only plays, you know, once every 5 days like Gerrit Cole, It's like I would say absolutely not. Like a Mike Trout or a Cody Bellinger or a Chris Bryant, those guys should easily get paid more than a pitcher that only plays once every fifth day. I mean, their impact is so much more if they're hitting on all cylinders. But that clearly isn't the case. And we've seen guys like Gerrit Cole. I mean, they get the Brinks truck backed up for them. So I think it's a sport to sport and individual to individual basis is how we're really just judging things right now.
Cole Wright of SiriusXM NFL Radio with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. When you saw Commissioner Roger Goodell's video statement about how the league had gotten it wrong and would be supporting peaceful protests moving forward, that was last week. Cole, what did you think?
You know, one thing that you always know about leaders is ownership and accountability. What do they do? You make a mistake. You don't place blame somewhere else. You own that. You find yourself accountable for that, and I think that's the first step in change. I mean, Roger Goodell, and I don't know what the sentiment is from the owners right now, but I mean, when the guy that is pretty much the representative of the league, and mm-hmm. he is essentially a representative of the owners, he's that face for them. He's that mouthpiece, just right. like, you know, like DeMaurice Smith is for the players. And I just think that is a step in the right direction. When someone can admit defeat and they can admit that they were wrong and that they didn't take the proper channels, I think that's the first step in changing. Like if I were to go out there and if I tried to grow all my hair back and I had, you know, and I said, okay, that's clearly not where we're going. I was wrong. That's a bad decision. It looks like I got a fried egg on top of my head, and I realized I didn't shave all my hair back off. That's the first step in change. I know that maybe is a lighthearted comparison, but that's what it is. I mean, when you realize where things have been done wrong and where there are inconsistencies, how do we change that? How do we move forward? And how do we keep progressing? I think that's where the league is at. We'll see how long it takes for that actual progression to take shape. But I think, like I said, a step in the right direction is always a right step.
Malcolm Jenkins is taking it one step further and saying the commissioner and the NFL can't make this right until they properly address the way Colin Kaepernick was handled going back now several years. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, I think that's true because Colin Kaepernick was the face of what we're seeing right now. He wanted there to be, you know, an awakening to police brutality in the African-American community. And I think, you know, the way that, you know, you had different outlets that would package it one way. You had other outlets that would package it another way. But I think at the end of the day, it was a peaceful protest. He did want to, you know, open a lot of people's eyes to that. And, you know, whether that was the catalyst of change or not, I think now that eyes are open, I think people realize that, you know, that what he was doing, as instructed by Nate Boyer, because the first time he didn't stand for the national anthem, he sat down. Right. And then I remember that, you know, he had the one-on-one with Nate Boyer, and Nate Boyer said, you know, it's as far as American servicemen go, kneeling in front of the flag is not a disrespectful sign. And I don't think that, you know, that people have really had enough. I don't know if it's time. I don't know if it's just the way that people were brought up, that they feel certain ways about that. But I just feel that it's not a disrespectful showing, especially when what he's trying to do is make sure that everybody is respected in our country, especially by law enforcement. And that's something that we haven't seen as much and something that we need to see a whole bunch more of.
Nate Boyer, of course, the former Green Beret who was with the Seahawks for a time and also played at Texas. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Cole Wright. If you don't mind, personally, what's your perspective and some of your emotions over the last 2 weeks in our country?
Well, you know, I mean, it's tough to see. I mean, as a you know, a biracial kid from Chicago growing up, you know, I've got people all around the spectrum that, you know, I've grown up around and that, you know, I've been able to, you know, to help shape and mold my opinions. But, you know, my father was born in Mississippi in 1944. So, you know, I understand how things have changed, yet still somewhat stayed the same, you know, in the United States of America. And I, you know, I've had conversations with my father. You know, I've talked to him, you know, during all of this, and I said to him, you know, did you ever think that, you know, when you were coming up and there were riots in Chicago and there were protesting, you know, nationwide? I mean, did you think that my generation would ever see that? Let alone your granddaughter's generation. You know, my daughter's only 8 years old,
aww.
And you know, my dad is, like I said, he was born in 1944 on August 28th. And oh, by the way, Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech on my dad's 19th birthday.
Oh my gosh.
You know, for my dad to sit there and listen to that, and, you know, of course he thought that change was coming, and he knew that things would be different, but I don't think that he ever thought that it would get back to this. And just to see that, you know, it not only does it kind of, you know, it hurt me a little bit inside, being that, you know, I just grew up with a whole bunch of different friends from all different backgrounds, and we're still, you know, all buddies to this day. But I just never thought that I'd have that conversation with my dad, because he never really spoke about it a whole bunch. And I think that's because he's very open-minded. You know, he always taught me to just, you know, pretty much be cool with everybody. It's easier to be cool than not. So I just think that, you know, some of what's gone on recently has been able to open some of that dialogue with my pops and I. And I think it's a little eye-opening, and, you know, it's kind of sad that we have to have these conversations in 2020 when, you know, I feel like we should be having the complete opposite conversations. So
I appreciate you sharing that perspective with your dad, especially his role and how our nation has developed but still needs to make more progress. You said you have an 8-year-old daughter. Have you had the chance to talk to her at all about what's going on?
Yeah, and it's like I try to let her know that, you know, that there's ways to treat people, and it's how you would want to be treated, you know.
Sure.
It sounds as cliche as it is, you know. It's, you know, you see all these things these days, and I mean, kids, no matter the age, that they all know how to operate a phone or a tablet. They seem to be locked in, you know, from front to back. And, you know, I sometimes tell her, you know, everything that you see on TikTok or, you know, whatever it may be, that's not how everyday life is. That's not how, you know, you see all these gimmicky things, and you see the people that, you know, they're all reaching out. Even the young girl that's an Instagram influencer who pulled up in Santa Monica with a drill and took a picture and then took off. I always try to explain to my little one, like, social media and all these things, that's not real life. These people are just broadcasting their highlight reels. And sometimes, you know, the messages are disseminated that are good, and there's other ones that are not so good. So, you know, I just try to let her know, like, how it is to be a good person, treat everybody like you want to be treated. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everything should fall into place, you know, hopefully. I mean, that's sometimes how it works, but not all the time.
But we definitely need hope, for sure. Cole, just before I let you go, what do you miss the most in terms of the sports world?
You know, honestly, what I miss the most, going to baseball games with my wife and my daughter and watching my daughter play softball. I mean, this is a whole summer that, you know, she was going to be, you know, she's going to be playing a regular season, and then they have, you know, the All-Stars and traveling. And, you know, last year, since she was a little bit younger, she played up. I mean, she was 8. Last year she played with a 10-year-old, still just 8 years old. So she didn't play. She's a catcher. So she didn't get to catch. She had to play, you know, center field or second base. So for her to be, you know, one of the older girls on the All-Star team this year, and to see her be a catcher and be able to, you know, to take the control of that game, I was looking forward to that. And, you know, don't get to see as much of that. Hopefully they'll still be able to sneak a game or two in here. You know, it's not going to have the same kind of meaning. They're not going to be able to play for a state championship and all that. But either way, just the thrill of competition and being able to watch baseball and to let her know how baseball is very translatable when it comes to the game of life. And I just think that, you know, some of those lessons I haven't been able to teach, and, you know, hopefully sometime soon, fingers crossed, because I know that, you know, the proposal is in to the players, and, you know, they have until Wednesday to respond. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully there's a major league season coming right around the bend here.
I am with you, and I love how many times you use hopefully, because that's what I'm hanging on to. You can follow Cole on Twitter at Cole Wright, WRIGHT. Not only is he with Marquee Sports Network doing pre and post for the Cubs when they return, but also SiriusXM NFL. And on his Twitter, he identifies himself as Paisley's daddy. So, Cole, it's really good to talk to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Hey, anytime, Andy.
I like what Cole had to say about social media. It's not real life. Amen, brother. It is not real life. It's the opposite of social, actually. And it's dangerous because people use social media to further their own agendas and to try to grab the spotlight for their 15 seconds of fame. It's not even 15 minutes anymore. So it's hard to know whether people are being disingenuous or sincere, or if what they're posting is a pile of pooey. And so I have stayed off it more and more. You know, it's I work with social media, obviously, and we use it during our show, but there are times when I just need to get away from it. And I'm really glad that my nieces, who are both young adults, one in college, and actually just found out that her school will have in-person on-campus classes, at least to start the fall semester. She goes to Virginia Tech. And then my other niece, who is just out of college. I'm glad that neither one of them is really big on social media. They don't have Twitter. They have Facebook, but only for the purposes of communicating with a couple of different groups they're in, but really don't use it for their own postings. They have Instagram, but not a whole lot that they do on Instagram, more kind of look around and like other people's posts. And they've stopped using Snapchat. So I got Snapchat just because they love Snapchat. And now my brother and I use Snapchat and they don't really use it. Anyway, I don't think that they're on TikTok either. Neither one of them have ever mentioned that. Anyway, I'm glad they're not on social media because I feel like it creates this unhealthy at times, weird. You can't call it a utopia because it's anything but this weird alternate reality, and it's not a true depiction. So good to talk to Cole. I'm not even going to tell you how you can find me on social media because that would be funny after what I just said. But if you want to find me, you can.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Andy Reid, head coach of the, I think, right? That was Andy Reid? I want to make sure I didn't recognize his voice wrong. I pride myself on being able to recognize voices because that's the business, but I suppose I should have confirmed that with Dave before he said it. I was confident, though, initially. Always go with your first answer. So the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Man, does that feel like a long time ago? It's been just over 4 months since the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl in a half a century, and it feels like a half a century since it happened. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. The Chiefs quarterback, Super Bowl MVP, previous NFL MVP, Patrick Mahomes, part of our QB news just after the top of the hour, along with Philip Rivers and Matt Ryan. And so a bunch of different quarterbacks doing Zoom conference calls right before most of the OTAs shut down for a month. And so the NFL teams, though they haven't met in person, are getting ready to wrap their OTAs in the next few days. Matt Nagy of the Chicago Bears said he actually ended their OTAs early because he felt like they'd accomplished so much over the past, I think he said 9 weeks or so, as they've used these Zoom calls with their rookies, with their veterans, with the coaching staff. And now NFL coaches can be back at their facilities along with players who are rehabbing from injuries. But the bulk of these teams will not return until they actually have training camps get underway, which is 5 weeks from now, 5-6 weeks from now, depending on who the teams are. We had said to you to wrap yesterday morning's show. Actually, I should give you the day so you know. To wrap Wednesday morning, so Tuesday night, Wednesday morning show, that the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was reopening in Canton. And so the teams that will play in the Hall of Fame game, all things being equal, moving forward as they are, they'll start the third week in July, and then the other teams will follow, like dominoes dropping. So 5-6 weeks away, and that's when these teams will finally be able to get together as large groups again. I wonder what kind of restrictions they'll have. It'll be interesting, but the NFL has got the benefit of time and space and was in the perfect position and really has handled the pandemic and its impacts perfectly, in my opinion. 855-212-4227. Again, QB News after the top of the hour. And Casey Stern from MLB Network and also Inside the NBA on TNT. He'll join us in the final hour of the show from Orlando. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I need to know how many of you are betting on the golf tournament. Come on, fess up. Are you betting? Whether it's DraftKings, which I personally have been promoting over the last couple of days, or whether it's some other form of betting on the PGA Tour. And I'm especially interested to know if you are doing it for the first time. Vegas has reopened. I don't know if every casino and every facility has reopened, but there are all kinds of photos out there. I've got friends who are planning trips to Vegas now. Vegas has reopened. And people are, some people, not all people, people are missing their sports betting. That thrill of victory and the agony of defeat sucks you back in every time. I'm not a good gambler, not a good bettor. I rarely do it. In fact, I don't even like paying to play fantasy football, though I do. But don't tell anyone. No, it's not a work league. What are you talking about? I don't even like doing that because I don't know how to lose money. So a friend of mine once said to me, the reason why you would never be a good gambler on sports is because you're not prepared to lose. He was so right. I do not like losing any kind of money. I get mad when I leave the grocery store and realize that I have the coupon, the dollar off, still in my pocket. I am one of those people who's always counted pennies from when I was growing up, and my family was, you know, we were poor, but we didn't have a lot of money, so we had to be really careful. And I've remained frugal, and I shop sales, and I cut coupons when I have the opportunity, and I'm always looking for the best bargains. So, yeah, I don't like to lose money, but if you're going to gamble on the PGA Tour, I want to hear from you. We're halfway through our show. We've got golf that starts in mere hours and QB news straight ahead.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.